Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
First remembrance this week is for Wes Anderson, the filmmaker behind movies like The Fantastic Mr. Fox, Rushmore, and The Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou. Unfortunately, Anderson has been caught red-handed in a direct heresy by the Interlateran Council on Identifying Theological Unsavoryisms. It happened when he told Deadline that he doesn't think Roald Dahl's work should be revised for modern standards and values. As he said, quote, "I don't even want the artist to modify their work. I understand the motivation for it, but I'm in the school where, when the piece of work is done, we participate in it. We know it. So I think when it's done, and certainly no one who is not an author should be modifying somebody's book. He's dead," end quote. Well, this will not do at all. Anderson is directly rejecting our second most important sacrament, the holy rite of literary revisionism. As any novice knows, we participate directly in the sacred spirit of inclusion's glorious harmony unity by our eagerness to revise not only our own past sentiments, but the past sentiments of others to reflect the triumphal truths of today. How else can the zeitgeist be continually renewing and purifying itself toward the future nirvana when we do not even use words at all because there's nothing left that we're allowed to say? We all know that eradicating past bad words is ultimately fulfilled by the elimination of all words whatsoever, hence our motto, "True freedom of speech comes from saying nothing at all. Praise Gaia." Well, if Wes Anderson won't change the offensive content of The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar and rejects the benevolent posthumous redactions applied to Charlie and the Chocolate Factory and Matilda, our only recourse is to banish him from this, the holy congregation of the eternally non-judgmental. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, The Little Black Mermaid. Disney's recent remake of the animated travesty from 1989. Now look, I know black isn't officially in the title, but it should be, since we should not be afraid to celebrate the evolution of Ariel and her sisters towards racial inclusion. And of course, we do recognize the numerous improvements in the film, such as the removal of that horrible song Les Poissons, featuring the brutal fish killer Chef Louis. That scene is completely triggering to anyone who recognizes the moral status of marine life. Fish are people too, you know.
Les poissons, how I love les poissons. Love to chop and to serve little fish. First I cut off their heads, then I pull out their bones. Ah, mais oui, ça c'est toujours délicieux.
Good riddance. And of course, we also honor the brilliant changes to the lyrics of that infamous ballad of misogyny, Kiss the Girl, with its romanticized message of mouth assault, encouraging Prince Eric to forget asking permission and just go for it with Ariel.
Possible she wants you to, there is one way to ask her. It don't take a word, not a single word. Go on and kiss the girl.
Good, wow, what an awful message that you ask, that you ask for kissing by doing it instead of, you know, asking. Of course, the new version properly rejects this sexual assault and completely reverses the message by replacing the toxic male aggression with feminist respect for words and permission.
Yes, you want her. Look at her, you know you do. Possible she wants you to. Use your words, boy, and ask her.
Hallelujah.
If the time is right, then the time is tonight. Go on and kiss the girl.
Much better. And yes, we even recognize the value in retaining some of the original progressive themes, such as that women often make the terrible decision to give up their voices just in order to appeal to a man, that men ruling the world, or the undersea world, only leads to disastrous consequences, and that children, especially daughters, are right to defy their patriarchal father enslavers. But this is where the praise must end. How can we affirm this new version when it continues to perpetuate so many horrible lessons? It's not the messages that changed which offend us, it's the messages that stayed the same. First, The premise of this movie has always been, and still is, that a woman's entire purpose in life is to find the right man and seduce him into marrying her, even going so far as to sacrifice her own fish-bottomed, beautiful mermaid nature to become a two-legged human to fit into his world and to accommodate his reproductive preferences. That entire theme remains and is shown as the path toward happiness for Ariel and Eric. Second, are we really in the year of our Gaia 2023 still teaching people that the proper personification of villainy is an overweight, butch-cut, screechy-voiced sea witch? Disney might as well have put a giant L on Ursula's chest, placed Birkenstocks on her tentacles, and played an Indigo Girls song in the background. But even ignoring the obvious anti-lesbian messages here, why does Disney continue to segregate the ocean into good sea creatures that crawl and fly like crabs and seagulls, on the one hand, and wicked ones that slither like eels and octopi on the other hand? Where's the justice for the undulators? Fat shaming and orientation marginalization aside, the overt anti-wriggle bias of this movie is horrendous. And since we're speaking of Ursula, what a tremendous opportunity missed by having her still have to transform herself into a demure, thin young hottie with long hair and come-hither looks to distract the prince. We had hoped the writers would perhaps take this opportunity to allow Ursula to remain a thick chick, or keep short hair, or even use her screechy voice and still be appealing to a man. What a great chance for body positivity squandered. But alas, we have yet another reinforced message that girls must imitate pageant queens to win the prince. So if you're thinking the Little Black Mermaid might be a welcome feast for your poor, unfortunate, progressive souls, I'm so sorry to disappoint. Updated but inadequate, this overly long musical reminds us why Disney's application for membership in our denomination is still on hold pending review, because it seems for every wheelchair push forward, they suffer two wheelchair pushes backward. And thank you to Jillian Price for helping us learn that saying one step forward and two steps backward is an ableist cliche. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, a word of praise for George Koob, the director of the National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism. Yes, President Biden's alcohol czar, although we prefer the term Minister of Alcohol Reform, since we don't want to be found guilty of promoting the nomenclature favored by Nicholas and the other pre-revolutionary Russian emperors. Yes, Director Koob recently stated he intends to recommend that adults in the United States consume no more than 2 alcoholic drinks per week, down from the current 2 per day maximum for men and 1 per day limit for women. The reason we admire this bold recommendation is the obvious fact that nobody will obey it. Recall your catechism, chapter 16, paragraph 158. The only rules worth making are the ones that are impossible to follow, for therein may one continually strive for the unachievable while also remaining eternally vulnerable to infinite criticism. We adore this new rule because it will simultaneously produce resentment, resistance, and frustration while also making everyone feel guilty about their total failure to adhere to it. Moreover, the absurdly harsh restriction will expand the ability of the morality police to selectively enforce the rules whenever it suits their purposes, since everyone becomes an offender. So well done, not a czar Koob. You keep finding outrageous ways to restrict people's freedom and thereby bring us one step closer to the blissful condition of total government regulation of everything. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
As you depart today, please remember the suffering of our dear friends Ben, James, and Sally, Juniper Thompson-Jones, who went to parent conference this week as the thruple they are and had to endure the soul-shaking indignity of their son's teacher's office only having 2 chairs available. Just when you think the world is finally starting to overcome its regressive monogamist biases, something like this happens. Refreshments this week are provided by Green is Good, the Grass and Weed Emporium on 10th Avenue. You're definitely going to want to try some of the locally sourced organic crabgrass tarts with thistle sauce. And the Zoysia Centipede blended tea is just plain... well, it's just plain. You really don't appreciate the Earth's flavor until you drink some of her least appealing undergrowth, lovingly steeped in hot water.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otheren, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.